Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling corporate dividends.
Right. What are they really? How do they work?
And maybe the big question, does a company's dividend policy, actually matter for its value or for you?
Our mission here is to pull out the key nuggets from our sources.
Give you that shortcut to being really informed, maybe find some surprising bits, keep it interesting.
We'll get into the mechanics, the debate around relevance, and even some alternatives to just, well, cash payouts.
Okay, let's unpack this then. So a dividend, most people know this, it's a cash payment from the company to its shareholders, usually out of profits.
Yeah, the regular ones are most common, but sources also mention, extra or special dividends, maybe a one-off thing.
Or even liquidating dividends if a company's winding down.
Right, but if you're an investor wanting to actually get that cash,
The timing. It's everything, isn't it?
it really is. There's a whole timeline, but the one date you absolutely cannot ignore is the ex-dividend date.
Okay, emphasize that one, ex-dividend date.
Exactly. It's usually set one business day before what's called the record date.
And why is that the critical one?
Because that's the cutoff. You have to own the stock before the ex-dividend date to receive the dividend. If you buy it on or after that date,
You miss out on that particular payment.
you miss out. And what's interesting is the stock price often adjusts on that day. It typically drops by roughly the amount of the dividend.
Like taking the cash out of the share price itself. A financial speed bump, you called it.
Sort of, yeah. Then you have the date of record. That's just when the company officially lists who gets paid. And finally, the date of payment, when the check's in the mail, or more likely, electronically deposited.
Okay, mechanics make sense. But now, the really juicy part, does dividend policy matter? Like, fundamentally.
Oh, the big debate. In a theoretical, perfect world, and that means, crucially, no taxes, no costs to buy or sell stock.
Which is in the real world, but okay.
Right. But in that world, the argument is no, it's irrelevant.
How so?
Well, the idea, like Modigliani-Miller theory suggests, is that if a company pays out more cash as dividends now, it just has less cash later for projects, or it might have to issue new stock.
Diluting existing shareholders.
Potentially, yeah. So the total value, the net present value of all the cash flows you get as a shareholder, it supposedly stays the same. It's just a question of when you get the cash.
And this ties into homemade dividends, right? The idea that I, as an investor, don't need the company to decide my cash flow.
Exactly. If you want more cash than the dividend provides, you sell a few shares. If you want less cash and more growth, you reinvest the dividend, maybe buy more shares.
So investors can create their own dividend policy, essentially, meaning they shouldn't really pay extra for a stock just because it has a high dividend payout.
That's the theory. But what's fascinating is how much the real world changes things.
Okay, bring on the real world.
Factors like taxes and flotation costs, the cost of issuing new stock, they absolutely make dividend policy relevant.
Let's take taxes first for individuals.
For many individual investors, capital gains, the profit when you sell stock, are often taxed at a lower effective rate than dividends. Plus, you only pay that tax when you actually sell. You can defer it.
So that pushes towards wanting companies to pay low dividends, right?
Yeah.
Keep the money in the company, let the stock price grow. And I'll take my gains later at potentially a lower tax rate.
Precisely. And those flotation costs. If a company pays out lots of cash and dividends, but then needs money for a good project, it has to raise it externally. Issuing new stock costs money, investment bankers, lawyers, filings.
Which eats into the value. So again, an argument for lower payouts, use internal funds first.
But then there's the flip side, factors favoring high dividends.
Like needing income now.
Absolutely. Retirees, for instance, they might strongly prefer a steady, predictable cash stream from dividends.
Makes sense. And what about tax-exempt investors?
Big players here. Pension funds, endowments, they don't care about the tax difference between dividends and capital gains because they don't pay taxes on either, generally. So, no tax reason for them to prefer low payouts.
Okay. And you mentioned corporate investors.
Yeah, this is a big one. If a corporation owns stock in another company, it can usually exclude at least 50% of the dividends it receives from its own taxable income.
Wow, okay. So that's a huge incentive for them to prefer high dividend stocks, almost like getting a tax break for receiving dividends.
It's a very strong preference, yes.
So we have this paradox. Irrelevant in theory, clearly relevant in practice due to taxes, costs, and different investor needs. How do we make sense of it all?
Well, our sources point to a couple of key concepts that help resolve this tension. First, the information content of dividends.
Meaning the dividend itself sends a message.
Exactly. When a company unexpectedly increases its dividend, the market often reads that as a strong signal from management, like, hey, we're confident about future earnings.
And the stock price reacts positively to that signal.
Usually, yes. Conversely, an unexpected dividend cut. That's often seen as a very negative signal about future prospects. The price reaction is about the information, maybe even more than the cash change itself.
Okay, information content. What's the second concept?
The clientele effect. It basically says different groups of investors, different clienteles, are attracted to different dividend policies.
Like we just discussed, retirees wanting high dividends, high-tax individuals wanting low dividends, corporations wanting high ones.
Precisely. So companies tend to attract a clientele that matches their dividend policy. A high payout company attracts income investors. A low payout company attracts growth investors.
And once these clientels are established, maybe changing the policy upsets the existing shareholders.
It can. And in a market where all types of policies exist and attract their own investors, maybe any single firm's policy becomes less critical to its overall value because investors can just choose the firms that fit their preference. The market finds an equilibrium.
Interesting. Okay. Besides straight cash dividends, what else do companies do to return value? You mentioned alternatives.
A really big one these days is stock repurchases or buybacks.
Where the company buys its own shares on the open market.
Right. This reduces the number of shares outstanding, which can increase earnings per share and potentially the stock price. And for you, the shareholder, there's often a tax advantage compared to dividends.
Because?
Because you only pay capital gains tax if you choose to sell your shares back to the company or on the market, and only on the profit. It gives you flexibility, unlike a cash dividend, which is taxed when you receive it.
Got it. More control over tax timing. What about stock dividends or splits?
Ah, yeah. It's important to remember stock dividends and stock splits aren't cash. The company just gives you more shares.
So if I had 100 shares, maybe after a 2-for-1 split, I have 200 shares.
Exactly. But the share price will roughly halve, so the total value of your holding stays the same. Same for a stock dividend, which is usually expressed as a percentage, like a 10% stock dividend.
It's like cutting the pizza into more slices. You don't actually get more pizza.
That's a great analogy. The company's total value doesn't change. Your total investment value doesn't change. It just changes the number of shares and the price per share. And of course, reverse stock splits do the opposite. Fewer shares, higher price per share.
So pulling it all together, understanding dividends is clearly more complex than just getting paid.
Right.
There's strategy, signaling, taxes, investor preferences.
Definitely goes beyond just the numbers on a statement.
Which leads to maybe a final thought for you listening.
Considering this idea of dividends carrying information and different clienteles wanting different things, how might knowing this change how you look at news about a company changing its dividend policy or how you interpret stock price moves around those announcements?
Yeah, something to think about. What really stands out to you from this deep dive today? Keep that curiosity going.